Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. Scientists say they've discovered an eel that produces more electricity than any creature on Earth. I'm Tony Kornheiser, yeah? Test me when I'm in the club. That'd be going back a ways for a test. When was the last time you were in a club?
I was never ever in a club.
That's I remember late. In 1992 in Barcelona, David Aldridge and I trying to convince you to come with us.
To go to the club.
Which didn't start, didn't even open until 1 a.m.
They stay up so late.
Spain, so late.
That I would be done writing at about 6 or 7 and I'd go to dinner and the restaurant
would close.
They would laugh at me.
Dinner's at 10 o'clock.
They'd say, come back, yeah, at 10 or 11.
There's no blue hair.
It's too late.
It's Barcelona.
Well, there ought to be.
No, I'm
because I'd like to eat at a reasonable time. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. We will get to USA's loss in the World Cup in a moment, but we begin today with Antonio Brown again. And this time, Brown is being accused of rape in a civil suit brought by a former college classmate who worked for a while as Brown's trainer. Wilbon, we have no clear facts here, only accusations and denials. Brown practiced today with the Patriots, but Bill Belichick was noncommittal whether Brown would play on Sunday. So where do you think this leaves Brown, the Patriots, and the NFL?
In a bad place, everybody, even though, as you said, these right now are accusations. It leaves Brown being accused of something very serious.
Absolutely.
It leaves the New England Patriots having to answer at some point, did they know this was coming down? Because we heard Drew Rosenhaus say he and his client were considering it and thinking about it. What did the Patriots know or even suspect? And what kind of due diligence on Brown did they undertake before this? And for the NFL, Tony, which has been of all the leagues, and I'm going to say in the world, the NFL has been beset with this issue and dealing with it, reacting to it, trying to figure out what to do, the public relations nightmare of navigating
it.
What does the NFL do now? And they've had some practice, although this is different. So it leaves everybody in a difficult position.
So we should point out that this is a civil suit, that they are asking for money in damages. If this was a criminal proceeding, and it might be, they may go back in time and they may decide to bring charges or arrest someone. If it's a criminal suit, it seems to me that the NFL probably has to go, if they want to suspend or punish, that it might be more severe than a civil suit at the moment. If I were the NFLPA, I would say, hey, anybody can bring a civil suit at any time. Don't bounce the player. Let the player continue to play. In the case of the Patriots, and I think this works to some degree, because they could cut him or not play him on their own. But their owner, Robert Kraft, was accused of solicitation very famously recently and stood firm. And it looks like nothing will happen to him. The league never did a thing. And I was wrong because I thought the league would step in. I suspect, Mike, that the league can look at this and they can say, let's sit him for a while with pay. Let's wait for the investigation to play out. Let's conduct our own investigation, though they have no subpoena power. But I think with all that Antonio Brown has done recently,
which could be considered, if the league wanted to, conduct detrimental to the league.
So I suspect that sort of like Ezekiel Elliott, although there was a 911 call in that, you know, and that was a little bit different, that they might sit him for, say, four games to begin with.
I'm thinking about this week, and they should think about not chunks of time, but 1 week, Sunday. Will he play?
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that he's going to be on the field playing on Sunday.
I agree with that.
Tony, if it's okay to move to a mere discussion of sports, we'll start with the U.S. basketball team being eliminated from World Cup competition today by France. It's the first time since 2006 that a team of NBA players representing the U.S. lost a significant international competition. Utah's Rudy Gobert had 21 points, 16 boards, 3 blocks for France, which also featured Nicholas Batum, Frank Ntilikina, and Evan Fournier. Tone, was this a significant loss to, you know, just kind of embarrassing?
I think it was significant and I think it was embarrassing because it was France, and France we didn't think of as a basketball power. Serbia was suggested to be the biggest power out there, Serbia or Australia. France can say we played 4 NBA players. We played 11. All of our players are NBA players, and I think it is, I'm not saying it's major, but because this is not the Olympics, but I'm saying it is significant and it is embarrassing.
I think it's significant and not embarrassing. I mean, they lost. And I told you we can run the tape back if anybody wants to find it. I told you that France was a team that could beat the United States. I mean, first of all, you're not talking about just NBA players. And yes, Donovan Mitchell, who scored, I think, 29 points for the U.S., is a significant player. His Utah teammate, Rudy Gobert, is a first-team All-NBA center, or second-team, whatever. He's a terrific player, and he's got stature, and that team looked at the U.S. and thought they could beat him. And, Tony, look, there are going to be other players like Anthony Davis and Steph Curry and Bradley Beal who may be available next year for the Olympic team. But I told you at the beginning, and if you listen to Greg Popovich's responses today, I think six or seven players are going to form the guts of the next team.
Here's exactly what you said.
Not embarrassing. They got beat.
Here's what you said, because I remember distinctly. You said that these players would be the spine of the next Olympic team.
Yeah.
And you said we don't need stars. Stars are overrated. You don't have to have stars. I think you need to have stars. We're going to go through a list of people who did not play for a variety of reasons, either turning it down or they announced they weren't going to do it. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Damian Lillard. I think in the Olympics, I don't think Greg Popovich is taking this team to the Olympics.
I told you three guys I think will play. Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, Bradley Beal, among others. You mentioned Damian Lillard. I forgot about him. I should never forget Dame. But, Tony, I'm just saying that's okay. So even if you add four players, and that will make that team significantly better because those are top-end
guys. They're stars.
I get that.
We need stars.
I still think that six or seven of these players are going to be in the nucleus of that Olympic team next year.
Yeah. But we're not taking a team where those six or seven – are the lions that they put out there. We're not doing that.
They're going to need a little upgrade there.
When the Milwaukee Brewers took the field last night against Miami, they were two games out of the wild card. When they left the field, they were one game out. But they had lost their best player, the reigning MVP, Christian Yelich. Yelich fouled the ball off his right knee in the first inning, shattering his kneecap. He's done this season, taking 44 homers, 97 RBI, and a .329 batting average with him. Well, then this is your division. Are the Brewers done?
Maybe not, because the team ahead of them, Chicago Cubs lost their best player, Javier Baez, in my estimation. I know that KB is a former MVP and Rizzo. Javi Baez is the heart and soul of that team, Tony, and I think the best player. And when they lose him, that's the same to the Cubs as them using Yelich. By the way, wasn't Javi Baez runner-up to Yelich last year for the MVP? I think he was in the National League. So I don't know that the Brewers are out of it. It's a big blow now. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But look, the Nationals are like three games up in the first wild card spot.
And they're falling.
They're not falling where? Who are they going to fall behind?
They're falling at the moment. Look.
They're not falling. They're still three games
up. There is a tremendous curiosity here that I wasn't aware of till we sat down upstairs. The Brewers with Yelich in the lineup are four games over .500. With Yelich out of the lineup, they're four games over .500. An additional four games over .500. I think the best player really hurts you when you lose them. But their schedule, their last 18 games.
It's easy.
15 of the last 18 are against teams with a losing record at the moment. You know what I'm curious about now? How will this affect the MVP race, which most people thought was Yelich and Bellinger and maybe Rendon? Yelich can no longer help his team.
No.
If his team craters,
it makes
does
him
that
more
make
valuable.
Him? Yes, does it? Does it?
I sadly think because he won it last year that this will sort of drop him out. And I hate that. Because Yelich, again, is having back-to-back great seasons. And so I think it hurts Milwaukee to some point. Tony, the other thing is, you can talk about the opposition and the strength of schedule all you want. Just the tension of trying to get into the playoffs. We see this every year, where a team looks at the strength of schedule and then can't beat the bottom feeders. Beat the Florida Marlins, a game to save their lives. We see this every year for the history of the playoffs, which is now, whatever, since 1969.
But I'm pretty sure, I think the Phillies won, I think the Mets won, you know.
Yeah, but most of them lost. Everybody lost last night. Cardinals lost, Cubs lost in extra innings. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm watching them lose to San Diego. Who'd you lose to? The Twins. I told you, that's a tough series.
Yeah.
But you're not falling because the teams below you all lost.
We're falling. They're catching us. That's all. They're the cushion if they fall, too. Mets didn't lose. Phillies didn't lose, right? Somebody get my ear on this.
I think the Phillies lost. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Dodgers had the first of what they hope will be many champagne parties last night when they celebrated winning their seventh consecutive NL West title. Some of us are a little surprised that Dodgers even bothered, because they talk openly about the only thing that matters being a World Series, which has not happened for that franchise in 31 years. The Dodgers now have 3 weeks to figure out how they'll attack the playoffs. But, Tony, what does a division title streak mean without a World Series?
I'm rooting for them to win. You know, I'm rooting for them to win because they've been a really, really good team for a long time now. Their run differential is, let me get it
like
right.
200 and something?
237.
Yeah.
It's 125 clear of the Washington team in second place. Look, the Braves were a really, really good team. They won once, and they are essentially discounted because they only won once. If you don't win at all, you are the team that gagged. And that division since 2000, the NL West,
yeah.
The Rockies have been to the World Series. The Diamondbacks won. The Giants won three. So you're going seven in a row in that division?
It's incredibly difficult in that division. And I think the pressure of it in Los Angeles now approaches the pressure of what was going on in Boston. That approaches. 31 years ain't 86 or whatever it was for the Red Sox at one time. But I think it's a lot in L.A., Tony, where people just sort sometimes don't even check in until September, and they hear that the Dodgers have won another one, and they say, oh, it must be time to go to the World Series. This is not the 1960s before division play. You got a lot of minefields out there you have to navigate.
So thank you for mentioning Boston. Because since 2003, Boston has won its division five times, not seven times.
Yeah.
But they've won four World Series. So they are celebrated. They are fabulous. I'm sorry, if the Dodgers don't win it, even with great starting pitching, great power from both sides, shaky bullpen like almost everybody in the National League, but if they don't win it, people are going to say they're no good. They're no good.
And here's the thing. They're not going to be the odds on favorites to win this year.
No, the American.
Not with the Yankees playing like this.
Or the Astros.
Right. Either one of them.
Let's take a break. Coming up, Chip Kelly.
Your boy.
He's 0-2.
I like Chip Kelly.
How should he feel about facing Oklahoma on Saturday?
And did DeMarcus Lawrence do anything wrong when he snubbed an autograph request from a young kid in a Giants jersey?
At first I thought no, then I saw it. It's not a great look.
No, it's not.
Okay, I don't have an actual medical license, but I do have a doctor's coat, which has led to a nice side hustle, removing wisdom teeth and moles. What's first?
Not even
moles. Ronald Acuna Jr. made a blank play last night.
I'm going to use the word half-baked. He goes back to the wall. He goes over the wall. He makes a great catch, but he doesn't hold on to it long enough. It falls out of his glove.
He tries to snatch it back, and it works against
and
him.
And while he's
right
sort of begging for an umpire to come out and say,
call it a catch. Right.
The guy is running. Scott Kingery is running like his pants are on fire.
And it was all that he needed to complete.
So he has, before the relay process starts, he has enough of a lead so that he can score. So in Acuna's catch, it's a great effort, but there's no cigar.
Acuna made an almost play last night. It was almost. It was almost another one of those great catches. And by the way, I just want to take a second to say, This kid is great.
He's a great player.
He's a great player.
Braves are a really good team.
Great young players. And Acuna, who has highlights all the time, it seems, almost had another one there. But you know what? He is so good, and he makes so many great plays for that team. You can't blame him.
Blame
he made an almost play, but he'll make another one tonight.
Next!
DeMarcus Lawrence of the Cowboys was blank for not giving an autograph to a kid wearing a Giants jersey.
Let's watch this right now.
See this
before
first.
I give the word, let's watch.
DeMarcus!
All right, okay. So look, my word is haughty. He is within his rights to refuse to give an autograph, even to a kid wearing a different jersey. But he is so dismissive in the way that he does it. There's a haughtiness there that I think people associate with the Cowboys. It's a haughty team. I honestly, they had just beaten, they chumped the Giants. He could have done this before I saw it. I was more willing to give him a break. I think he will regret this because that tape's going to run for a while.
You know, Tony, he was tacky for not giving a kid the autograph. And I live with this a little bit. I tell my son when he goes to a Wizards game where John Wall is always nice to him, don't wear the
son.
Derrick Rose jersey.
Which you bought him.
Okay, but
he's
got a John Wall jersey. Don't wear that to be with John Wall.
Well, don't worry about that year because John Wall ain't playing.
But I have told John Wall, say no to him in the autograph. He's wearing a Derrick Rose jersey. Just say no. And John Wall, being as sweet as he is, says, no, I'm giving him an autograph. He hugs him, takes a picture. No.
Well, this guy didn't do that.
Well, he didn't even act like he wanted to.
Next.
Tacky cowboy.
Chip Kelly should feel blank about his chances against Oklahoma on Saturday.
Apprehensive. UCLA is 0-2 right now. They are at home. They're a 23-point dog at home to California. UCLA lost to Cincinnati by 10.
Yeah.
Cincinnati went out, lost to Ohio State 42-0.
Well, you knew they were going to lose that.
Chip Kelly is 3-11 at UCLA. He's 0-5 out of conference, including losing to San Diego State. Here's what Chip Kelly said the other day, quoting directly. You don't tear up the root of the tree to see if it's growing. You just keep watering it. Bravo, Johnny Appleseed. Bravo.
Nonetheless, Chip Kelly should feel scared about his chances against Oklahoma.
You're good.
Tony.
You're good.
They're going to go into the Rose Bowl with blue skies and nice weather, and they're probably going to hang somewhere between 45 and 52 on UCLA. What happened to UCLA? And it, look, there's... It's undeniable that what Chip Kelly did at Oregon, it worked.
What happened to UCLA?
I know. Both sports.
Yes.
But Chip Kelly's worked. His deal worked for a while. And then people
worked in Oregon.
People of your ilk said, Eagles, a Super Bowl is coming.
I was wrong.
And I said, oh, it's not coming.
No, you were right about
Chip Kelly. The pros in college aren't the same.
Then you fell over, paws up, because you saw him at an NBA game. Next.
Last one. It's blank that players voted Rory McIlroy over Brooks Koepka for player of the year.
It's wrong. All right? Koepka won a major. He finished second in two other majors and fourth in the other major. Rory missed the cut at his home course in the British Open. He finished 21 at another major. They both won three tournaments. Now, I will grant you that most recently, Rory beat Koepka down in the FedEx Cup, but 5 weeks before that, Koepka on Sunday beat Rory down. This feels to me like a popularity contest that other players are saying, I'm tired of Brooks Koepka saying he never practices and then beating our brains out. But he had a better year than Rory.
Well, Tony, all of this leads to it being mysterious that the players voted Rory McIlroy over Brooks Koepka. It's mysterious. There seems like an agenda. It seems like, okay, enough of this guy. We know that can happen in any sport, and golf is not immune to it. As a matter of fact, we can probably point out other times when it's happened in golf. But, you know, I don't know that Brooks Koepka and DJ, while they can just overpower the tour sort of week to week during a stretch of the summer, I don't know that they're the most popular guys out there. And this does feel like it's mysterious
to
me.
Really,
I'd like to sit with some guys off the record and say, who'd you vote for and why?
Yeah. Eat your words, by the way. Let's take a break. Last time break. Still to come is Ben Roethlisberger, your boy.
I love him.
Right that the Steelers just need to fix a few little things.
Maybe some big things. And the decision is in on Ohio State's attempt to trademark the word the.
I hope they didn't get that.
I hope they didn't get it.
I hope they didn't get that. By the way, I'm still thinking about that Deion stuff, that he's going to quit in the middle of the year. I'm thinking about that.
If that happens.
What a call that is by Deion. Happy time, people. Happy 36th birthday, Jacoby Ellsbury. Ellsbury was an all-star for the Red Sox in 2011. In 2014, Ellsbury went to the Yankees following the path of Johnny Damon. But in 2018 and 2019, Ellsbury hasn't played at all due to a variety of injuries. The Yankees owe him $26 million after this year. And in truth, they appear to have moved on completely from Ellsbury. But happy birthday.
Happy birthday, but he is 36.
Yeah.
I mean, we think of him because of his sort of youthful appearance and exuberance as being younger. 36. I mean, it's tough to come back from all this.
Happy anniversary, Pete Rose. On this day, 34 years ago, Rose broke Ty Cobb's all-time record for hits with 4,192. Rose finished with 4,256. The current active leader, Albert Pujols, has 3,190. The next guy, Miggy Cabrera, has 2,807. Nobody is catching Pete Rose. Nobody, not even Mike Trout. Do the comparisons. How can Pete Rose not be in the Hall of Fame? You put on the plaque that he gambled, but you give him a plaque.
And now there'd be some dope going up to Pete Rose saying, Pete, if we can just get you to work on your launch angle.
Happy trails, Jonathan Abram. The Raiders' first-round pick and one of the stars of Hard Knocks could be out for the season after tearing his rotator cuff and labrum in the first quarter Monday night. This is how tough Abram is. He played the rest of the game. And after the game, he talked to the media without any complaints about his physical condition. In the offseason, he'll probably play hockey.
That is tough. That really is. But they just have one thing after another, taking players away, it seems, all the time.
You never watched Hard Knocks completely?
No.
I sort of like it. I think it's a pretty good show. I do. I think it's a pretty good show. That kid is tough. No errors today. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
The NFL says viewership was up 5% in week one. Are you surprised?
Bears Packers accounted for like 20% just in the opener, so that carries the rest of the weekend. Huh?
They had a week. Come on.
I'm telling you, Bears Packers was way up from last year's Thursday night opener. Ben Roethlisberger says the Steelers don't need to go back to the drawing board. It's just little things here and there. I know you agree with that.
No, I don't. I know it's the Patriots, but they lost 33-3. I don't think
they're going to come back and win
tweaks.
This week.
Yes. The Pilots reliever Kyle Crick suffered a season-ending finger injury during a clubhouse fight with closer Felipe Vasquez. Your thoughts?
How else should it end for the thug team that is the Pittsburgh Pirates? Opening day on the PGA Tour today. Too soon?
Yeah, come on. I love golf. This is too soon. This is the fall. We used to call it the silly season. Now they have tournaments and they matter and you get FedEx points and all of that. But how long have you been off?
In places that matter, like the Greenbrier.
How long have you been off? Last one, Ohio State's attempt to trademark the word "the" was rejected. I bet you're happy about that.
Yeah, because I don't want to see my conference, any team in my conference, that guilty of that kind of arrogance. Shut up. Get out.
We're out of time. We're trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
The dog park is done. Next, it's the leaf blowers. Chevy Chase.